Good morning. When I was asked to speak on how the UUCS has enriched my life, I really didn't want to do it for two reasons. First, as many of my friends know, I hate speaking in public. The second reason was because I never really wanted to be a Unitarian Universalist. You see, my husband Tony, after attending some lectures and forums, decided we should become UUs. And while I found the church interesting, I'll confess that after being raised Catholic and enduring 16 years of all-girls Catholic schooling, I had had enough former religion to last a lifetime. But being the supportive wife I am, before you could recite the seven principles, we had signed the membership book. Now, what were we going to do with this membership? At first, we didn't do much. We attended some services, did some socializing, and read the contract. But then one day, I can't even remember why, I decided to attend a social justice meeting. And as they say, the rest is history. It was at these meetings that I began to connect with the members of our congregation and discover how inspiring you are. I realized how giving you are of your time, talents, and money, how caring here in our congregation, out in our community, and globally. So, from attending the social justice meetings under the excellent guidance of Julie Leach, I started volunteering at Helen R. Payne Day Nursery. This led, with Diane Happy's ever gentle encouragement, to being on their board with her and Brock Leach and volunteering to be their CFO. I went from helping serve snacks at Habitat for Humanity to being a volunteer builder to becoming a crew leader and leading a women's build. I became aware of our dismal public housing through the Social Justice Committee and found myself with Pat Liebert and Sue Sherman as members of the Public Housing Task Force. And now, as co-chair of the Social Justice Committee with Julie, I sign you up to serve meals at the Salvation Army and staff the food pantry at Bethesda House. What I see being accomplished here is truly amazing. From building our Habitat home, to serving meals at the Salvation Army, from donating a monthly collection, to becoming a green sanctuary. Truly, this is a community that, pardon the expression, walks the walk. I also found it wasn't only causes that you care about. You care about each other. On Sundays, during the cares and concerns, I see you writing down the names of people mentioned. You're ready to reach out both in good times and bad. When my mother was ill, you were ready with a hug, and someone is always asking me, where in the world is my daughter Jessica these days? Sometimes in your life, you can reflect back and identify a pivotal moment, an event that shapes your path. For me, looking back, joining this church was one of those moments. What I found here was not a formal religious experience, but a caring community with a real commitment to changing the world. So, even though I was reluctant, thank you for welcoming me in.
Thank you, Susan. As we enter this time in our service in which we acknowledge the joys and sorrows in our lives, let us begin by welcoming into our midst those who are visiting or new to the church today. Whether you're just here checking us out, or you are a UU from someplace else who's in town on vacation or to get away from the chill of winter, or you're a newcomer for any other reason, if you're here today for the first or second time, I invite you to stand so that our members may know to greet you after the service. And as the visitors and newcomers stand, I invite the congregation to say, welcome. Welcome. You have picked a great day to be here. Thank you. And now let us join our hearts and minds in a time of spoken words and unspoken contemplation of our very human joys and sorrows. As we come together in love, we build community by the times of our lives that we share together, the good things and the bad, the joyous and easy ones, and the ones that are more difficult for us. We welcome back to church today Mel Thomas, who was out of commission for a while with an infection and a light stroke, but he reports that he's recovering. I believe he's here. He and Ann are here today. And welcome back, Mel. And he is still seeking donations of used computers that he can rehabilitate and provide to folks in need. And his hands are now fully operational again, so he can go back to working on them. Lee Severs has let us know that former member Harriet Brotherton, who was known as a courageous blind woman from Houghton, Michigan, who didn't let her blindness get in the way of living a full and active life. She's 96 years old, and she's in the hospital with pneumonia. So for those of you that know and remember Harriet, that will be good to keep her in your thoughts. Our thoughts are with Carolyn Meeker as she prepares to head to Texas this week to seek specialized treatment at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And Pat Hodgkins called in this morning to let us know that she has fallen on her tailbone and is at home recovering, so your calls and cards of support are welcome. On some joyful notes, Joyce Schneiders lets us know that her daughter is visiting with us today, and we'll be glad to meet all of Joyce's friends. And Henny McDowell announces with pleasure that her sister Riet in the Netherlands is now working with a group of specialists at the academic hospital, and it looks very hopeful for a diagnosis and a treatment of her illness. And one more thing, congratulations to Brock Leach, who in his first ministerial position has been named Vice President for Mission, Strategy, and Innovation for the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, the international human rights and relief organization based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with which this church is a major supporter and has many connections. And so Brock will be spending half of his time in Massachusetts and half here. We will miss him when he's gone, but this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for him and another connection for us with this organization. With these words that have been spoken, and all those that remain unspoken in our hearts and our minds, let us hold a time of silence, at the end of which I will speak some words of closing.